I guess my task is to keep you awake after lunch and hope I can manage. Hi everybody, and thanks to the organizers for the nice opportunity. This is a research that carried out in an Italian residential center providing support for people diagnosed with different kinds of mental illness, for the most part psychosis. And I prepared a little animation just to make clear the kind of setting I'm talking about, because many of you would not be familiar with it. So I'm talking about a home which accommodates 10 people diagnosed with mental illness, and there is a staff which run this home. It's made of nurses and care workers and one trained educator, and they basically carry out rehabilitation programs which are aimed to help these people regain or acquire abilities which should help them to manage their everyday lives. Abilities which might have been compromised by their mental illness, basically. And this is part of the national healthcare system, and it's part of mental health center. And on occasions, the residents will go to the mental health center to have consultations with psychiatrists, and it's the task of these doctors to prescribe medication. And when the residents go back to the center, it's up to the staff members to actually give the medication to them. And it's at this point that problems arise, because the residents can reject the medication at this point. They can complain about it. They can make believe that they actually take it and then they throw it away. And there are weekly meetings that I recorded, that's the CA part of the old story, of course, where the staff members try to discuss the residents' non-compliance to the medical treatment. And the practical problem that I'm working on is, how do the staff members get to talk about the residents' non-compliance to the medication? There might be many kinds of problems, such as they are not sure that they are throwing the medication away, for example, they may suspect it. So how do they get the residents to actually talk about their lack of compliance to the medication? And I'll be showing some practices that the staff members use to address this kind of practical problem. And I'd like to discuss some implication of these practices for the asymmetrical distribution of opportunities to actually articulate and manage the topic of medication in these conversations. So, okay. One thing that the staff members can do is they can tell what they already know and offer an opportunity to the resident to say more on the subject. They can tell their side of the whole story. In this particular extract, N is a nurse and R is one of the residents, a man called Franco. The name is invented. And yes, the nurse has already started to encourage the resident to talk about his personal state, and the resident has been reluctant to do so. So at line one, the nurse, because Franco also lately doesn't feel very well, but he could also tell us why if he wants to. But the resident says, I don't know. The nurse provides another opportunity, you don't know either, he repeats. But the resident confirms that he actually doesn't know. This is supposed to be heard as a no. So basically what we have here, a nurse is encouraging one of the residents to talk about his personal state, and the resident is refusing, resisting to do so. And after a few lines that I omitted of extraneous talk, the nurse knows, because we have a bit the doubt that you haven't taken the medicines for some time. So in spite of the fact that the first solicitation was neutral to the kind of cause which might be behind the residents not feeling very well, at this point in the sequence, his non-compliance, the fact that he failed to take the medication, is given as the actual cause behind his not feeling very well. And so also as the explanation that the resident was actually expected to volunteer. Still, the resident says nothing at this point, and the nurse said, no, you can. Then I omitted another parallel conversation was going on. And then at line 14, if you say it frankly, it's not the end of the world. So it's strongly encouraged at this point to admit that you actually didn't take the medication. Still, an admission is not forthcoming. And as a matter of fact, since this week that we make sure a bit more that you can that you take them, it seems to us that you are getting a bit calmer, I think. Another announcement, and this time also providing the staff members' perspective about medication. It's good for you. Now you make sure that you take it, and we think that you are better. And at this point, the resident takes a turn. He rejects the assumption that the medication is good for him. He says, but I don't want to take the medicines. So what I'd like you to keep in mind before going on is that the nurse makes several repeated attempts to topicalize the resident's failure to take medication in spite of his passive resistance. And what the resident is expected to do is actually to admit that he didn't take the medication. Now, another thing that the staff members can do, when the residents finally say something, they can try to have them say more on the subject, on the topic. So topicalizing moves. So this is the continuation of the excerpt one. But I don't want to take the medicines. Line 23. I omitted a few lines to focus on a point of interest. A second staff member, a woman called Barbara, an educator, says, can you tell us, Franco, why you don't want to take the medicine with the medication anymore? And the resident, because it's not mine. The educator. It's not yours. The resident, it's no. The educator, sorry, in what sense? Make me understand. And the resident, that it's not for me. But why? Why do you say so? The resident says something that I actually didn't understand on tape. And then, yes, maybe it is, but try to make me understand what the basis you say so. So she's making a repeated attempt to have the residents produce more topically expanded talk on his failure to take medication, but the resident is confining himself to minimal, non-expanded responses. And to have a sense of what she's doing, we have to keep in mind that this activity is aimed to basically foster the resident's compliance to take the medication. So she's asking why he doesn't want to take it. If he articulated his reasons for not taking the medication, she could go on to address the reasons, disagree with them or challenge them, and try to persuade the resident that medication is actually good for him. Now, this trajectory is somewhat compromised in this case because of the resident's lack of participation. They basically need the resident to say something more about their reasons to reject the medication. And in next excerpt, we see a more condensed version of this kind of sequential trajectory. And before this excerpt, the educator started to inquire into the residents, the same residents, Franco, personal state. And have you calmed down a bit? And he says, yes, yes, yes. Okay, fine. Something is being brought to closure here. And line 7. And so why don't you always take medicines, Franco? And the resident, because this medication is not right, because it causes me that problem, so I don't want to risk. So unlike the previous example, he's producing more topically expanded talk, and he's actually explaining why he doesn't want to take the medication, and he's pointing to some side effect, which he doesn't not explain here what they are, but the educator is supposed to know at this point. And then she goes on to say, but on the other hand, I get the impression that it makes you feel better. So she doesn't explore at this point his reasons for rejecting the medication, but she goes on to disagree. So this seems to be the kind of trajectory that the staff members are trying to accomplish. They try to have the resident say that they didn't take the medication, to admit it, to provide the reasons for rejecting the medication, then they address the reasons and they disagree. And this is, of course, meant to foster the residents' compliance to medication. And what I'd like to simply observe at this point is that this kind of environment, of course, provides multiple opportunities for the staff members to pursue, talk about the residents' failures to take the medication, their non-adherence to the medical treatment, while for the residents, there seem to be limited opportunities to actually pursue their agenda, which has to do with utilizing the side effects of the medication. They can say it, but this is done in an environment which is meant to actually foster the compliance to medication. So, as they get to a point where they articulate why they don't want to take it, they are basically challenged and is affiliated with. Now, I would like to show you these similar features in a rather different sequential environment. Extract 1 showed an example where a resident is offered the opportunity to actually volunteer the fact that he didn't take the medication. In this case, we have a staff member, a nurse, who goes on and references one of the residents' lack of compliance to medication in a unilateral manner. So line 1. Now, I must tell you one thing. Dina is a bit in conflict with the medication that she's taking, right? The resident says, yes. But she talked about this to Dr. Pilla, to our director, and so he advised her anyway not to make a fuss with the workers about the medication. We have a quite linear progression here from referencing a transgression, Dina's lack of compliance to the medication, to a recommendation, maybe more a command. She's supposed to take the medication and not to make a fuss about it. So the opportunities for participation here are even more limited for the residents. She's asked to confirm an information. She's in conflict with her medication. Then she's expected to accept a kind of recommendation that actually she has already received. This is being repeated for the other residents who are present in this encounter. She's not asked to actually provide her perspective about the medication, why she didn't take it, but this can happen later, and this is what I'm going to show. After the nurse has already provided a recommendation to take the medication, he orients to the relevance of having the resident to say something about her experience with medication. So, this happens further in the conversation approximately 2 minutes after the previous extract. And the nurse says, because there is the medication, medication must not be debated, I mean. That one, you must guarantee that you take it. Here again, a command. You're supposed to take the medication. There's no discussion about that. So if you too, Dina, would like to go home to live, etc., and the resident says, and then sure, line 10, and the nurse goes on, that if here at the center you make a fuss to take the medication, when you are home alone, do you take it, the medication? And she says, I don't know. You see, so like in with the other resident of the previous example, what she's expected to do is basically to admit her non-adherence to the medical treatment, this time in a hypothetical scenario. If you went home after the treatment, what would you do? Would you take the medication? She says, I don't know. And he treats it, the nurse treats it as a demonstration of the point that he's trying to make. The resident is not adhering to the medical treatment, and so she's failing to actually comply with treatment, and he goes on to recommend that she does it, she wants to be ready to go home, and so on and so forth, and terminate the treatment. She's not asked at this point to say what she thinks or feels about the medicine she's being given, but at this point she volunteers this kind of information. line 17. I feel a bit trapped, Massimo. A possible complaint about the medication, and once again, as in excerpt 3, she is referencing the side effects of these psychiatric medicines, drugs that she is being given. And quite interestingly, there is a lapse. An uptake from the nurse is not forthcoming. Thank you. And she goes on to modify her perspective and actually claiming compliance to the medical treatment and saying, anyway, I believe in the medicines. I think that they help me too, the medicines. And this is the version that the nurse actually ratifies. The important thing is not to abuse them, right? Exactly. Okay. So, what I've tried to show here is that these staff members deploy practices which allow them to repeatedly and insistently pursue the topic of the resident's failure to take the medication. As for the residents, one thing that almost invariably happens in this data is that when they are provided with an opportunity to say something, they complain about the side effects of these medicines. However, by doing so, they could be transforming the whole activity into something else, complaining about medication, communicating their concerns, but this is not what the staff members basically are trying to do, and this is a basic paradox, I think, of this kind of setting, where on a weekly basis, these residents are asked to provide information about how their treatment is going, but if they come up with complaints or concerns, basically they are ignored because they are uttered in a sequential environment which is hostile to this kind of actions. What they are expected to do is basically at this point to admit their faults, their failures to comply to the medical treatment so that they can be provided correction, recommendation to actually comply to the medical treatment. That's basically the point I want to make. Thank you.
Thank you. Fine, some good time then for questions, observations, comments. Yes, Trevor.
I'm just wondering in the data if you find situations where the residents voice their concerns outside of this sequential environment. Do they ever launch topical talk on that themselves?
No, it seems like they wait an opportunity and then say something about the medication when it's topicalized or referenced first by the staff members. I don't have examples where they actually volunteer this kind of information.
Yes, Michelle.
It's more of an observation than a question, but it reminds me a little bit of the half membership stuff that Shakespeare originated, about the idea that some participants haven't got full membership in the interaction, and therefore they're more applies to children generally, but children seem to be in phase, I think. And this seems to be that dementia. And this seems to kind of resonate with the idea that these are not fully. They're not fully paid up members to the interaction with the staff have got full membership and they have more of a kind of half membership status and therefore their views aren't going to be taken as seriously. So it's just some observation within the question.
I also have the kind of impression that these residents are oriented to as less than competent members in interactions because of course, the staff members could also do something else. They could change the trajectory and address those concerns. They could explore them in depth, but they basically don't do it. What they seem to do is disregard these concerns and carry on with their goal, which is to have them comply to the medication and recommend that they adhere to the treatment.
I saw Anne nodding vigorously just then. Did you want to make a comment, Anne?
No, I was quite struck by the very notion of optionality, if you like, in what's being said, is sort of completely absented in the scriptures that they actually use.
What is absent, sorry?
It lacks this idea of optionality in the scriptures that they actually use to sort of say these things. So it's to be honest, it's taken out already of the scriptures that they use. It's actually struck one of those ways, not in the
Ruth, question?
I was interested in the broader context in terms of what the, particularly the staff members, see as the purpose of the meeting, and you know, whether you've had interactions with them, both in terms of what they think is going on, and also whether you've then, at the other end, been able to discuss these findings with them and what their response has been. So perhaps you could tell us about that broader aspect.
I did actually, and there seemed to be a mismatch between what I was saw that was going on and what they thought about it, because when I started work with them, they said that these meetings are basically designed to give opportunities to the residents to voice their concerns and thoughts and feelings about the treatment. But as I went through the data, there seemed to be other co-occurring, at least, goals. And I think that these professionals are basically there to have them comply to a treatment which at the same time they didn't prescribe, mm-hmm. because they are not a psychiatrist, so they are to a certain extent, I would say, I hope that no one of them is here now, but guardians of this kind of institution. This is a residential treatment, they are supposed to comply to the treatment, and they seem to be the one of the or the main concerns here. So it was actually difficult to interact with them because we had very different perspectives of what was going on there.
So are the staff, is their performance measured by things like compliance as well, or not particularly?
It's not measured, but I think they are accountable for that, yeah. Because, for example, there are other staff members who are there at night with the residents, and they don't want them to complain about or to reject the medication because they don't know what to do. So the simplest way is to tell them, no, don't make fuss about this. Try to discuss it with a psychiatrist next month. And in the meantime, please take your medication and just, yeah. This seems to be a problem with the order and the respect of rules. This is not formalized, it's very implicit in this kind of institution.
Maren, is there a point of contact between this and the doctors and the neurologists? I mean, the neurologists are offering in a way that your staff members will not offer. But even in the alternative, where the doctor, non-neurologist, prescribes a treatment, the doctor, he or she, isn't telling the client to take it right now. So even in a more direct doctor's consultation, you don't get this direct sense of direction.
I mean, the closest I've got, and it's still, like you say, it's nowhere near as direct. The closest I've got is what I was referring to as informing, where it's actually about, it's not interestingly about a treatment, it's about an investigation. And the neurologist effectively says, this is what we're going to do, we need to have this particular text. But even there, interestingly, the patient treats it very much the way Stiles described, treating it as a proposal that means an acceptance or a rejection, and does an overt acceptance of going ahead with doing that. But certainly the construction is opposed to this in the sense that the doctor doesn't build into the design of his turn any optionality about whether or not the investigation is needed.
Last thought? Sounds a bit terminal, that, doesn't it? Any more observations? Okay, thank you once again, Marco.